Incredible treat for all of us. Okay, Sefer Yonah. Sefer Yonah. Everyone remembers the story of Sefer Yonah, the basic story. It's a very, very short Sefer. How many prakim are in Sefer Yonah? Four prakim. It's four prakim. It's 48 psukim. And we read it, of course. The reason that we're learning it now in Chodesh Elul is because it's part of our spiritual hachana for what Elul's leading us to, which is eventually Yom Kippur. Right? When on Yom Kippur do we read Sefer Yonah? Mincha time. Right? The Haftorah for Mincha is Sefer Yonah. The Pasha Pshat probably is because Yonah was a Navi who was sent to tell people to do tshuva. What we're going to learn, and the Tzaddikim point this out, is that maybe the real Omek, the real depth of why we read Yonah on Yom Kippur, is because the real story of Yonah, as we're about to learn, is about a person running from his mission. And that's what Yom Kippur is trying to fix. Yom Kippur is trying to help us to be honest about our mission in this world. So what the Vilna Gaon did in his Sefer Aderes Eliyahu, in the Aderes Eliyahu of the Vilna Gaon wrote a commentary on Sefer Yonah, not Bederach HaPshat, even though the Vilna Gaon has many sections of Tanakh where he elucidated the Psukim Bederach HaPshat, but the Vilna Gaon wrote an allegorical interpretation of Sefer Yonah. What does that mean, an allegorical interpretation of Sefer Yonah? It's an allegory, right? If you have a story or a poem or a picture, and it's being megale, it's revealing to us, it has a hidden message that it's trying to share beyond the pshat, that's called an allegory. Right? So Sefer Yonah is actually a story of a real person. There was a Navi, there was a prophet, his name was Yonah ben Amittai. But the Vilna Gaon also learned it, Boker Tov, the Vilna Gaon learned all of Sefer Yonah as a mashal. Again, that's not to say that the Vilna Gaon doesn't believe Yonah didn't exist, God forbid. But it's also a mashal of an neshama being sent to this world on its mission, which is Gevaldik. And the struggles of the neshama being sent to this world on its mission. Okay, so let's try today, Boker Tov, let's try today to dabble in the first four Boker Tov, the first four psukim in Sefer Yonah. Okay, let me just read you the psukim first. I have a Tanakh here. I'm just going to read you the psukim just to review the storyline. Vayihi devar Hashem el Yonah. You don't have it on the page in front of you. Vayihi devar Hashem el Yonah ben Amittai le'mor. The word of Hashem came to Yonah ben Amittai, the Navi. Kum lech el Nineveh. Get up, kum, get up. Lech el Nineveh. Go to the city of Nineveh, ha'ir ha'gedola, the big city. Nineveh was a Jewish city or not Jewish city? Not Jewish city. Not Jewish city. Interesting. Hashem is sending a Navi of Klal Yisrael, a Jewish prophet, to this big city of Nineveh, ukra aleha, and call out to it, ki olsa ra'asam lefanai, because their evil has come up before me. Their negativity has come before me. Ve'yakom Yonah levroach tarshisha milefnei Hashem. Pasuk Beis, Yonah decides, he gets up, and he decides he's going to flee to Tarshish from before Hashem. He's running from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's trying to escape from Hashem. V'yered Yafo, he goes down to Yafo, v'yimtza aniya, ba'as Tarshish, and he finds that there's a boat that's heading to Tarshish. V'yitin schara, he pays its wage, he pays for its fare. According to Chazal, that means he paid for everyone on the boat. He's like, okay, like, I don't have time for you to take people's tickets. I'll pay for everyone here. Just get this boat out on the water. Get me out of here. Ve'yered ba levo yimahem tarshisha milifnei Hashem. Ve'yered ba. He went down. He descended into it. Descended into the boat to travel to Tarshish again. Again and again. Milifnei Hashem. Milifnei Hashem. He's running from Hashem. One more pasuk. Vashem heitil ruach gedola elayam. Hashem brought a very strong stormy wind over the sea. There was, again, this terrible tempest, the storm on the sea. Literally, and the boat thought to break apart. In other words, the boat was on the verge of being destroyed. And then the sailors go, and they try to figure out who's responsible for all of this. Okay, but let's go slowly. Let's go slowly. Those are all the psukim that we need for today. Okay, let's see what the Vilna Gaon does with just a couple of psukim in Sefer Yonah. It's incredible. Now, it's written very bekitzer. That was the style of the Gra. The Gra wrote things very shorthand. So Tzaddikim explained that the Vilna Gaon's brain was going so fast, his Chidushei Torah were flowing from him so quickly that the Vilna Gaon could just write down almost like Maya Makomos, you know, and you have to either know everything or put in the time to try to decipher the code. But it's incredible. At the end of his life, he wasn't even writing things because they say he wasn't even recording things because it was just like the Chidushei Torah were flowing too fast. A lot of his writings were from his younger years, whatever any of that means. By the way, when did the Gra live? When did the Vilna Gaon, the Gra live? 18th century, that's right. He passed away in the 1797. His lifespan, I think, was 1720 to 1797, something like that. Okay? Really one of the greatest minds of Jewish history. I think you could say such a thing. The Gra, they say he was like a Tana, like an Amora, certainly like a Rishon. He was just incredible, incredible, incredible. His connection to Torah and mastery of Torah. Nigla, Nistar, Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod, everything. The Gra wrote intensively on Kabbalah. The Gra knew everything, forwards and backwards. Okay, so let's see what he does with Sefer Yonah. Okay, top of the page. Inyan Hanavi Romez al Nishma Sa'adam. The story of this Navi is the story of a Neshama coming to this world. Kamasha Kosev B'Zohar, as the Zohar already makes reference to. The Gra knew the Zohar forwards and backwards. Inyano, and the idea, the message of it is Shesholcha el olam hazeh letakin es olam. Just like Yonah is being sent to Nineveh to help Nineveh to live properly, it was a big city. It was a large kingdom. Right? And Yonah was sent to warn it how to live its life. So too the neshama is sent down to this world letakin es olam, to fix the world. Again, one of the fundamental Jewish philosophical questions of existence is, why did Hashem send us here? The neshama hates being here, as we'll see. The neshama fights Hashem tooth and nail when it's being sent down to this world. The neshama is crying before Hashem, don't send me to that crazy world. It's too hard down there. Why would I want to leave? I'm sitting tachas kisei hakavod, I'm with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why would my neshama want to come to this world with all of its struggles? And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the neshama to this world to fix the world. V'lo dai shelo tikein elo kilkil es atzmo gam kein. But unfortunately, the tragic reality, and it's also a kasha on Hashem, if so many people don't get it right, so why do you keep sending people here? If so many people don't live meaningful lives, so why does Hashem... But it's really being born, existing, is Hashem's greatest declaration that I believe in you. Because Hashem says, I'm sending you here because I think you can do a great job. What happens if you don't do a good job? What if you're kilkel as atzmo gamkein? What if instead of being metakein, you're mekalkel? Well, what happens in Sefer Yonah? After he gets thrown off the boat, what happens? Kind of gets another chance to try again, and this time he accepts the mission, and he goes to Nineveh, somewhat begrudgingly, we'll see. Right? But if you don't get it right the first time, chaver, what happens? Gilgal, reincarnation. Achar kach sholeach el Gilgal sheni letakin. If a person is makalkel, if he messes up the first time, we believe Kabbalistically in the possibility of reincarnation, of being recreated. V'tikin. And you'll get it right. Eventually you'll get it right. Eventually you'll get it right. There was a mashpia in Chabad who used to say to the chever, he says, you might as well be good Jews. Because it's not a choice. Eventually, you're going to have to be a good Jew. So it'll be this time around. It'll be the next time around. It'll be the next. Eventually, like, you're going to have to do it at some point. So you might as well do it now. Why do you have to make it hard on Hashem, like, to schlep it out? You know, just be a good Jew this time around. So eventually, a person comes back, a second Gilgal, and you'll be metakin. Aval bitzar al roa mazlo, as we will see. But with great pain, the neshama laments its fate, because the neshama doesn't like to be here. However, what are some of the basic answers as to why we have to come to this world? I mean, what are we doing? We're with Hashem. We come down here, and then the reward is we get to be with Hashem. So we're already with Hashem. What's sort of the basic approach to this question? Yeah.
When we're here, we're supposed to enhance our neshama, so that when we come back, we're a different.
So what's the enhancing? You're right, but why? I mean, if I already had it good, why do I need to come here and struggle? Is really the question. Right. If you don't earn it, if it's just given to you for free, it's much less enjoyable than when you earn it. That's true in everything in life. If your parents are very wealthy and they give you a credit card and they say, go buy whatever you want, so it's less enjoyable than a person who works hard over the summer and saves up, and then, you know, the parents buy their son a fancy car. So it's nice. It's a nice ride. He enjoys it. But imagine the guy who saves up and saves up and saves up and buys himself this, you know, this used car. Not nearly as nice, not nearly as good in terms of its condition, but he worked for it. Right? That's what the Zohar calls Nahama Dichisufa. Nahama is Aramaic for bread. Chisufa means embarrassment, embarrassing bread. In other words, we don't want free handouts. It's uncomfortable for a person to spend their whole life taking handouts. You could say, what do you mean, why should I work? I can just find a nice soup kitchen and go get a free lunch every day. Why should I work hard? Because even though sometimes a person needs that, and that's why it's important to have, you know, people helping each other out, but a person wants to feel like they're able to carry themselves, but they're not always being supported. So the neshama is being supported until it comes to this world. After it works hard in this world, Torah, mitzvot, mechemes hayetzer, fighting the yetzer, then it comes back and it's able to really enjoy. Then it's much more geschmack. That's the basic answer. You know, I'll pnimiya satora as to why we have to exist. But it's hard. It's scary. It's very scary for the neshama to come here. There's a lot of temptation. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. And the neshama says, I don't want to leave the pristine spiritual world of being with Hashem to come to Washington Heights, New York. I'm not interested in that. That doesn't interest me. Okay, so let's see. So, Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi devar Hashem el Yonah. However, what does vayihi mean according to Chazal? Something bad, right? Now the truth is, how do you know that, Dovi? Why do you think you know that? Where'd you pick that up from? In Maseches Megillah, Zach. Before you disappear, grab this. Right, Maseches Megillah discusses that Vayihi signals something bad, but it doesn't really say that, does it? In Maseches Megillah, what does it say? It says Vayihi Bimei is bad. The Gemara starts off by saying, is Vayihi good or bad? It brings proofs in both directions. It says, Vayihi bimei is bad. But I'll tell you, in other midrashim, v'haya is good. Vayihi is more bad than good. So Vayihi is something bad. So Vayihi devar Hashem al Yona, nuso eska kasha. So what's your question on this pasuk? What's bad about God talking to you? Vayihi devar Hashem al Yona? What's bad? What's Vayihi? Vayihi means something terrible. Vayihi devar Hashem el Yonah. No, Ezra, that's bad. God speaks to you, and that's bad. Vayihi devar Hashem el Yonah. God spoke to Yonah, Vayihi, that's bad. So explains the Vilna Gaon. Vayihi zohi shashem mishaleach es haneshama lo'olam hazeh. Yes, it's actually very bad. Not bad in an objective sense, but bad in a frightening sense. If you ask the neshama, do you want to go down to this world of Hester Panim, where you can't see the Yad Hashem? Do you want to leave sitting with the Ziv HaShechina in the Olam HaEmes to come, the Olam HaNeshamos, to come down to this world? So what does the Neshama say? No way. Vayihi, it's terrible. It sounds terrible. Boker Tov. That sounds horrific. So Vayihi Devar Hashem El Yonah, when the Neshama gets the call, and again, the Yonah in our Mashal is the Neshama, when the Neshama gets the call to come to this world, so it's terrified. Va'omer, Hashem says to the neshama, second line, Va'omer la zili beguf planya, va'avad ra'usi, k'mashakasa b'zohar. Zili, what does zil mean in Aramaic? Go into this, right, into this guf, into the guf of Ploni, go into such and such a body, va'avad ra'usi, and do my ratzon. The neshama says, I really don't want to do it. God says, I'm not asking you if you want to do it. It's my will, not your will. It's not your will. The Zohar is being revealing to us. It's not our will to be here. Remember the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Yod Gimel? Better to be created or not to be created. They took a vote. They debated it for 2.5 years. A long time to stay on one sugya. They voted at the end. Noach lo la'adam shalo nivra misha nivra. It would be more pleasant not to exist than to exist. Now that we exist, we have to figure out what to do with it. The Vilna Gaon will talk about that in the fourth parak of Yonah if we're zochet to get there. But then Hashem gets thrown into this world. Says the Gra, Yonah Zohi HaNeshama. Now, why is the Neshama called Yonah? By a show of hands, how many people here have the name Yonah? Either have the first name or a middle name. Okay, we got one, and we also have our other Yonah. Yonah Eden. You're Yonah Aaron, right? Yonah Aaron, okay. I'm going to work on everyone's Jewish name. I don't know everyone's name yet. Sorry. Okay. So Yonah, so why is Yonah the Neshama? It's Gevaldi. No? This is very special for you. Yonah Aaron, this is very special. You get a new understanding of your name. We get to study you for the next 4 weeks. Yonah Zohi HaNeshama. Yonah is the Neshama. Why? Like it says in the Zohar, Shehi ki Yonah Foisa Ein Leif. That's a pasuk in Hosea. Yonah Fosa Ein Leif. Like a Yonah, like a dove, which is, what's Mefata? What does it mean to be Mefata? Onesu Mefata. The Torah talks about a person who's Ones, we had in the Gemara the other day, the person who's, he rapes a woman, now he has to stay with her forever. What's Mefata? A person who seduces. Right? Pota means gullible. Easily tricked. Easily manipulated. Ki Yonah Fosa Ein Leif. Sometimes we, the Jewish people, were described like what? Like a gullible dove? Ein Leif. Literally without heart or mind, but it means lacking understanding. We become disoriented. You know how disorienting it is for the Neshama to come to this world? You know how crazy that is? From a world of utter truth to a world of utter concealment? From a place that's all light to a place that's shrouded in darkness? You know how scary that is? The Neshama comes down here and it's totally lost. It's totally confused. It's entering into a space of deception. Ona'as dvarim. Right? What's hona? Hona means deception. Halacha says you have to not deceive people, monetarily, even with your speech. Right? So the very name of our neshama is disoriented, gullible, easily tricked. The Yetzer Hara gets the better of us so many times. That's very scary. That's the negative side of our name, Yonah. That's the downside of the name, Yonah. What's the positive side of the name, Yonah, which is so much more? Yeah, Oren, let's hear.
I was wondering.
Kasha. Say again?
What's the Ein Leif?
Ein Leif means without understanding. Lacking understanding. It's a Yonah Faisa. It's like a gullible dove who's Ein Leif. It's without a mind. Lacking understanding. Okay, so the Yonah is the Neshama. Honad, it's subject to deception, to trickery. But says the Grava, O Tam Acher, but there's another reason why it's called Yonah, and it's actually a tremendous praise, and that's part of the struggle also. Like the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Memtes Amid Aleph, Ma Yonah Knafeh Maginos V'chulu. You're getting a taste of how the Vilna Gaon writes. He gives you two lines, two words from the Gemara, and you're expected to know the whole story. Have anyone know what that's referring to? Just like a dove is protected by its wings, etc. Who remembers the story? Maybe you never learned the Gemara. In Shabbos Daf Mem Tesam and Aleph, but maybe you've heard the story before of Elisha Baal Kanafayim. Anyone remember that story? Heard that story before? You don't know the story of Elisha Baal Kanafayim? The Gemara says that there was a time of Roman persecution. Yeah.
He had to fill in.
That's right.
Hand, and then he said, "I have the birds of
wind." Excellent, excellent, Eliyahu. So what happened? So Elisha Baal Kanafayim. The Gemara says, "Why was he called Elisha Baal Kanafayim?" This big tzaddik, Elisha. Who was he? In the time of Roman persecution. Avrema, what a treat. Come again. Hope to see you soon. Okay, going out to the world. The Neshama's going out to the world. Make sure you hang on to your wings. So, in the time of Roman persecution, this fellow named Elisha decided, the Romans said, anyone who's caught wearing tefillin, we're going to smash your brains in. Pretty scary. Especially tefillin shel rosh. And the Gemara in Bracha says, tefillin shel rosh is how we display our, you know, it's almost like a crown. It's like the way we show that we're on Hashem's team. It's one of the ways we display our grandeur in the eyes of the world. So if you're caught with tefillin shel rosh in your head, we're gonna smash you over the head. We're going to drive the tefillin into your skull. Elisha, this fellow Elisha, was very brave. He said, I don't care. I'm going to be Moser Nefesh. And he went out with Mesiras Nefesh. He went out with Mesiras Nefesh wearing the tefillin in the marketplace. A Roman officer sees him and starts chasing after him. He starts running. Every detail of this story is precise. I'm debating if I should tell you something the Gross says in one of his other sarm about this. Let's say, I'm just trying to be sensitive to the time. But the Pashat story is, anyways, he starts running from this officer. The officer catches up to him, and as he catches up to him, he quickly pulls the tefillin off of his head, and he's holding them in his hands. So the Roman officer says, excuse me, sir, what do you have in your hands? Right? So he says, oh, kanfei Yonah. I have the wings of a dove. So he says, no, you don't. I saw you running with, I know what you have in your hands. He opens his hands, and what happens? Oh, good magic trick. Kanfeyona. Right? So he was known as Elisha Bal Kanafayim. Elisha, the one of the dove's wings. So what else does the Yonah, if that's, and the Gemara says, so why did he say dove's wings? Why didn't he say something else? Because the Jewish people are compared to a dove, in the sense that our mitzvos, u'maisim tovim, protect us like the wings of a dove. That's the quote that he has here. Ma Yonah knafeh maginos, just like the wings of a dove protect it, so too the mitzvos protect Klal Yisrael. That's why Elisha was zocha to this incredible miracle. Okay? Must have been a big tzaddik. Normally we don't, you know, we don't try to get ourselves into that type of trouble. But I guess he had the relationship with Hashem that he could start up and be protected. But you see that a Yonah represents a certain dedication and commitment to Hashem. Give me one more second. Va'od she'eina manechas ben zuga. Furthermore, the dove is known to be very loyal to its mate. Some animals, right, are not committed to their spouse. But the dove is known as an expression of its loyalty and its tznius. The dove is committed to its, it doesn't abandon its benzuga. V'kach nikris b'shir ashirim, and that's why in Shir Ashirim, Hashem lovingly refers to the Jewish people as what? Yonasi samasi. Yonasi samasi. My dove, samasi. Tam, Yaakov Ish Tam, my wholesome one, completely dedicated to me. The Metzudas Sion, in the commentaries on the Navi, on that Pasuk, says it's a Lashon of Tmimus. Samasi is a Lashon of Tmimus, of wholesomeness. Vehu Hipuch Hamirma, which is the opposite of trickery. In other words, Yonah has this duality to it. On the one hand, I told you the word Yonah is Milashon Hona, which means what? Deception, trickery. We're dishonest. We get tricked by our Yetzirah. At the same time, it's an expression of unbelievable loyalty. Yonasi, Samasi, Chazal say Samasi. Don't read it Samasi. Read it as Toomasi. What are Toomim? Twins. We're twins with Hashem. We're like twins with Hashem. We're partners with Hashem in the deepest way. Chazal say an interesting thing. Anyone here a twin? Any twins? Chazal say in the Medrash Shir Hashirim that twins have this very deep bond that when one of them is going through something, the other one feels it. That's twins. I've spoken to some twins. They've said it's they've definitely had that experience. Like if one of them has a headache, they call up the other one like, I have a huge headache. Like, yeah, me too. A weird thing. So Su'umasi, we're twins with Hashem. Not only that, Ozzy, give me one more second. Let's just finish this piece. Va'od shinim seres l'shchita ve'ena mifarcheses. The Medrash says about the Yonah that when you shecht some animals, when you try to shecht it, so it jumps around. It's mifarcheses. It jumps around. But the Yonah, when you shecht a dove, when you slaughter a dove, it's very still. It doesn't try to run. And the Medrash quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, "Ki alecha haragnu kol hayom." It's the Mesiras Nefesh, these Jewish people who've died al Kiddush Hashem throughout the generations with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. So on the one hand, Yonah is sort of the negative aspect of who we are, the part of us that's gullible, the part of us that's deceptive or easily deceived. But on the other hand, it's part of our loyalty to Hashem. It's part of our Mesiras Nefesh, part of our faith. That the Medrash says, "Maha makos ha'ela." You see a Jew being beaten or oppressed, and you ask, what did you do? What crime did you do that you deserve to be so tortured and beaten? And the Medrash concludes over there and says, oh, I circumcised my son. What? You're being put to death? You see a Jew at the stake, the Medrash says. You ask him, what did you do? What crime did you do? You're a murderer? You're a thief? No, I keep Shabbos. So look at the Mesiras Nefesh of Klal Yisrael. Lefichach, therefore, Nikres Yonah bein begilgal rishon bein begilgal sheni bein betova bein lehefech. Says the Vilna Gaon, therefore his name is Yonah throughout the Sefer. In the first parak when he's running from Hashem, he's called Yonah. In the third parak when he accepts the mission and starts going to Nineveh, he's also called Yonah. You're called a Yonah, whether it's a Gilgal, whether it's a lifetime where you're getting it right and doing mitzvos u'maisim tovim. And you're called Yonah, your neshama is still called Yonah if you're doing everything wrong. if you're off the derech, if you've abandoned your faith, if you've strayed from a life of torah mitzvahs, you're still called Yonah, because Yonah has this dual meaning. On the one hand, it means trickery and deception and gullible and messing up. And on the other hand, it means loyalty and dedication and mesiras nefesh and faithfulness. And therefore, throughout the Sefer, says the Gra, both in one's first Gilgal and one's second Gilgal, or in Yonah's two opportunities to take on the mission, bein betova, bein lehefech, whether he's doing good or not so good, he's called Yonah. Okay, Azriel Tzvi.
Doesn't the dog also have a good implication from the Noach story?
For sure. That's part of its loyalty. As opposed to the Orev, the raven, who Chazal say, right, committed an act of adultery on the Teva, whatever that means, right? The birds were up to no good on the... But the Yonah is the sign of, right, it's the sign of wholesomeness, of stability, peace. Jewish people are compared to a Yonah in so many ways. Yeah. A lot of good imagery and a lot of positive in the Yonah. Right? Also, if it was Hanukkah time, what would we talk about? If it was Hanukkah time, what would we talk about? We talk about, you know, who's our enemy on Hanukkah? Yavan. Right? So there's a relation between Yavan, Yod Vav Nun, and Yonah. Yonah is like the positive side of Yavan. Yavan is the one who tries to get us to lose our connection to Torah. Yavan is Yavan with a hay. Nachon. The Zohar talks about it. Okay, Donnie. You guys know Donnie Sawson? He wasn't here last week. Welcome back, Donnie Sawson. Daniel Moshe. Married men. Those who need dating advice. You can speak to the married chevra.
Don't ask me.
Okay, go for it.
According to my calculations,
yes,
Gilgal has one more than Yonah.
Gilgal has one more than Yonah.
72.
Interesting.
Meaning that
interesting.
Yonah, no matter where
right.
he's going, he's always reaching for that next step.
Right? It's interesting because the Sfasemes says that Yavan is Gematria Galgal, 66. Because when a person gets stuck in the loop, you know, we're going to see. Unfortunately, what happens is we end up going, we try to run to Tarshish. Tarshish, we're going to see, is money and materialism. Someone told me something very cool yesterday. One of my good friends, David Tzvi, told me yesterday, he said, if you look at the word kesef, it sounds like a Rapinson vart, but tell me if anyone's ever heard this before. If you look at the word kesef, so it starts off with a chaf, which is like half a circle. Then it's a samach, then it's a full circle. And then it's a fey, which is like loops. So you start off, right, you start off kind of like, you know, entering into that sphere of like pursuing materialism. Eventually you get like trapped inside of it, and then it starts spinning, then you're in the rat race. You spend your whole life chasing and chasing. Chaf, samach, pei, it just gets loopier and loopier as a person chases after materialism. It's a Galdik Vart. But there's definitely a connection between Gilgal and Yonah and Galgal and Yavan. There's definitely stuff going on there, for sure. Okay. So what's Yonah? What's Yonah's full name? Let's keep going. Yonah ben Amitai. So says the Gra, about six or seven lines in. Ben Amitai, ben la Kodesh Baruch Hu shehu Amiti. Yonah ben Amitai was a person. But it also alludes to the fact that my neshama is the child. Very timely, what did it say in this past week's parsha? Bonim atem, Hashem Elokeichem. You are, every one of us, we're children of Hashem. So ben lakadosh baruch hu shehu amiti. Remember, as much as this world is trying to deceive you and trick you and mislead you, remember that you come from what? You are chelek elokam imal, to quote the pasuk in Eov, right? You're a chelek elokam imal mamish, to quote the Baal Tanya. Yeah, we're a spark of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're one with Hashem. Hashem, is there a better word to describe Hashem than the word emes? It's hard to find a better word. The Chazon Ish said that was the best word. The best word to describe Hashem in one word is emes. Can you think of a better word? Echad, maybe? What's a better word for Hashem than emes? So we're every one of us is a ben Amitai, a ben Amiti. We're a child of a Kadosh Baruch Hu who is Emes. Okay? And therefore, as the Pasuk says, Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. So, it's very interesting. You see what the Gra is hinting to here is, on the one hand, he's saying, this is the Pasuk that proves that we're children of Hashem, which means that if God is truth, then we have an inner truth that we can actualize if we work hard. So that's the simple reason why he's quoting this Pasuk. Right? But Banim Atem, Atem has the same letters as Emes also. So we're banim emes. We're truthful children. A Again, we're also very gullible, susceptible to deception. But we have to try to live an emistic life by remembering our roots, that I'm a ben amiti, I'm a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'cheinu omer b'zawar, similarly it says in the Gemara, k'mo di'is av l'guf, just like you have a biological father, who's responsible for your physical creation, says the Zohar, kein is av l'neshama, so too you have a father for your soul. Interesting. Interesting way to think about Hashem. What does the Gemara say about our three parents? A person's made up of a mother, a father, and Hashem. Three partners in a person. But the Zohar is saying a little different. The Zohar is saying, while your parents gave you your physical body, right, your father for your neshama is Hashem. There's an av l'neshama. Hashem is the father of your soul. Interesting. B'chos Moshe l'kadosh baruch hu, emes. Like the Gemara says in Shabbos, I think it's Daf Nun Hei, that the seal of Hashem is emes. The stamp of a kadosh baruch hu is emes. What are the first three words of the Torah? Bereishis bara Elokim. What are the last three letters? What are the sofei tevis of Bereishis bara Elokim? Tav, Aleph, Mem. Same letters as emes. Nu, ask a kashanate. Rabbi, that's not in order. No? What's the answer? What's the answer? What happens if we start from the second letter? The second word. Let's do the second word. Bereishis bara Elokim S. Ah, now it's in order. Start from the second word, the last three letters is MS. If I start from the first word, Bereishis bara Elokim, I have the letters of MS, but it's not straightened out yet. Well, what's the pshat? Who wants to say a pshat? Or a drash, I guess is a better way to say it. Who wants to say a drasha? Saw this once in a sefer. No, Eliel, say a drasha. Exactly.
But then afterwards, it's going to be clear.
Yonah, you came to this world like a disoriented, gullible dove. Right? You feel completely lost. But you should know that even there, it's there. The emes is, it's just a little mixed up. Right? Go a little weiter, work a little harder, study a little more Torah. And you'll see, it'll start to straighten itself out. It'll start to be megal itself. Start to reveal itself. Exactly. Okay? Good. So the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, right? Just like an author hides his name in the title of his book, Hashem, in the opening words of the Chumash, Hashem also wrote his name. He hinted to his name. Yeah?
When we were saying Avagav, Shemesh, Avagav, yeah. Saying that there's one father for both, or that you have...
No, just like you have a biological father. Yeah.
Parents, and that yeah. Your father biologically is
correct. You have a biological father, you have a biological mother, and then you also have a spiritual father, which is Hashem.
So do we have a spiritual
father? Do you have a spiritual mother? It's an interesting Hashem. Question. It's also Hashem. It's also Hashem, but the answer is probably yes. Yeah, there's something to think about there.
Like the Shekhinah?
I guess so. Maybe. Not sure exactly how to say it. But I imagine, yeah, I guess there's an Av L'Neshama and there's maybe an Aim L'Neshama also. It's the same source. Yeah. V'chein Amru... And similarly, it says in the Gemara in Yom Adaf Samach Tes, V'rabanan hechi samche b'datayu v'okre mad amar Moshe? How did the rabbis rely upon their wisdom to uproot that which Moshe Rabbeinu said? Again, I'm sorry, Vilna Gaon, we have not finished Shas and mastered it, so we don't know every Gemara. Okay, so you got to look them up. What does it say in Yom Adaf Samach Tes? It says that Moshe said about Hashem, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibur, Vahanora. Yirmiyahu came along, Yirmiyahu Navi came along, and said, I can't say Nora, I can't say God is awesome, not after all the destruction that I've seen. Came along Daniel, he said, I can't say Gibor, not after everything that I've seen. Right? They took out the words Nora and Gibor. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibur, Vahanora. Yirmiyahu took out the word Nora. Daniel took out the word Gibor. The Anshe Knesset HaGedola came along. When they wrote Shmoneh Esrei, they put it back in. Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaNora. What's the Gemara's question? On Yirmiyahu and Daniel. Say it in one word. Chutzpah. Right? Chutzpah. V'Rabbanan. Who are Rabbanan here? Yirmiyahu and Daniel. How did they rely upon their own understanding of God to uproot that which Moshe said? The Anshe Knesset Gedola said, you see the awesomeness of God by watching the way Hashem lets his enemies think that they can get the upper hand by destroying Beis HaMikdash. Gibor, you think God doesn't have strength? The strength of God is his ability to hold back and to not punish right away. That is, hein hein no rosav, hein hein gvurosav. That is his norah, that is his gibor. So how did Yirmiyah and Daniel have the chutzpah to change it from what Moshe said? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Yodin ba-Kadosh Baruch Hu she'amiti hu, lefichach lo kizvu bo. They know that Hashem is true, and therefore they couldn't say something false about him. In other words, the public perception was that God is not so Nora, he's not so awesome. God is not so Gibor, God is not so strong. Even though, in truth, this was a nuanced expression of Hashem's awesomeness and Hashem's strength. But since most people didn't see it that way, sometimes you have to speak the way it is. Especially when you talk about Hashem, because Hashem is Amiti. So it's just another Gemara to show the truthfulness of God. Yirmiyah and Daniel didn't want to talk about Hashem in a way that would be perceived as not truthful, because the ultimate way to describe Hashem is Emes. So Yonah ben Amitai, every one of us is an Neshama, the child of Emes, the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Emes. And therefore we have to take that with us on our mission. Okay? Yeah, Oren. You sure? Okay. So Vayihi Devar Hashem El Yonah Lemur. So now, right? It's Vayihi, we said, is this painful? The word of Hashem comes to Yonah ben Amitai Lemur, saying, explains the Gra, Kol Masha Omer Lo Hashem Yomar HaKol Yisrael. Everything that's being said to Yonah is meant really to be conveyed to the entire Jewish people. That we should know sheyadu lama ba'u la'olam, that we should know why we came to this world. This message, right, for Nineveh, again, in Pshat, there's a city called Nineveh, there's a person called Yonah. Yonah is a Jewish prophet, Nineveh is a non-Jewish city. But on a deeper level, says the Gra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to every Jew and telling us, think about what you were created for. Sheyitaknu kol echad ve'echad es atzmo. Vigam kol olam. That every one of us has to see ourselves as being charged with the mission statement to perfect ourselves, to work on ourselves in a deep way, in a real way, and in doing so, to be metakin the whole world. Okay? Ad kan, pasuk aleph. Pretty gavaldik, no? It's amazing. You know how much time we spend reading this pasuk on Yom Kippur? Probably like 3 seconds, depending who has haftarah. You know how much we just spent 37 minutes learning 6 words of Sefer Yonah. It's incredible. It's so unbelievable. The Vilna Gaon said on the words, I think, Alu Zeh Banegev. And the Chumash says, Alu Zeh Banegev. The Vilna Gaon said, I have 2,000 interpretations on those 3 words. Okay. I have 0. I can translate the words, you know? It's amazing. Okay, let's go weiter. No? Pasuk Beis. Everyone see where we are? Kum lech. Get up and go. Right? It's like Avram's lech lecha. Kum lech. Kum mi mekom chashio sheves began Eden velech al olam haza. Yonah, know who you are. You're Yonah ben Amitai. Get out of your comfort zone. Right? I think that's what people say, right? Where does life really begin? When you get out of your comfort zone. So kum lech. Get up and go. Get up from your place where you're sitting in Gan Eden and go to Olam Hazeh. Nineveh, go to Nineveh. Hu Olam Hazeh. Now, we're about to see something very Hasidish from the Vilna Gaon. I say that carefully because the Vilna Gaon put the Hasidim in Cherem in the late 1700s. Right? But people make a mistake, and it's a very important, you know, mistake and misunderstanding to dispel. Right? When the Vilna Gaon was against Hasidus, that doesn't mean the Vilna Gaon was against Pnimiyas HaTorah. I don't understand what I mean by that. There were certain Hasidic practices that the Vilna Gaon was not fond of. Right? But the fact that Hasidus helps to unlock the deeper dimensions of the Torah, that was the entire world of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon spent most of his life learning Kabbalah. That's the irony when people say, like, you know, you have like Hasidus Shavelt, and then you have like, you know, the world of, you know, Lithuania. You have the Vilna Gaon. You have that world. Right? And that world comes down, and in some yeshivas it ends up being like only Gemara. That's not the world of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon world was filled with mysticism. It's important to realize that. What his machlokas was with the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Tanya, whatever, wherever you want to, however you want to, you know, be magdir it, his refusal to meet with the Berditchever, okay. What that machlokas was about, we could talk about another time. But don't think that the Vilna Gaon sat and only learned Gemara. The Vilna Gaon wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote on the secrets of Torah. The bulk of his writing is in Yanim of Nistar, of the hidden dimensions of Torah. Okay, but look what he writes here about Nineveh. He says, the Neshama is sent to Nineveh. Get out of Gan Eden and go to Nineveh. Hu olam haza, shehu hadom raglav, visham navehu. Go down to this world, which is hadom raglav. He's paraphrasing the pasuk, I think, in Yeshaya. The pasuk says, hashamayim kis'i, the heavens is my throne, v'aretz hadom raglai. Ragli. And the earth is my footstool. Hashem calls the earth his footstool. So go down to this world, to Shom Navehu. What's Navehu? Hashem's abode, his dwelling place. Let me ask you a difficult question. Okay, Jack, what do you think? Where is Hashem found more, in Shemayim or in the arts? Is that a fair question? You don't have to like the question because that's a ridiculous question. Where is Hashem found more? In Washington Heights or at the Kotel Hamaravi?
Wherever you make him present, no?
All right, so you answer like the Kutzker. Where is God found? Wherever you let him in. Okay. Ariel?
We're saying found in a revealed way or just...
Yeah, I don't know. There. I don't know what I'm asking.
Because if we're saying it doesn't, if we're saying it doesn't need to be in a revealed way, then God's everywhere.
Yeah.
You're saying in terms of Hashem being present, even if I can't perceive it, everything's equal.
Yeah.
Hakol shaveh. It's all equal. Okay. So first, already you're saying gechidish. You're saying the notion that God is more out there than down here is a mistake. That's the first mistake you want to say. Okay, I agree. But what's the gra saying here? The gra saying, come to olam hazeh v'shom navehu. There is his dwelling place. It almost sounds like Hashem is more here than there. As we say, Bishuvu el Navehu. Right? When a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence returns to Tzion, I mean, Tzion could be, I guess, a spiritual realm also, but Tzion means here. Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, here. Kodesh Kadoshim, I don't know. And then look at these next four words. Underline it. V'chkan hu ikir diraso. I said the Vilna Gaon is going to say something that's going to sound very Hasidish, that's what I meant. Because if you ask a Chabadnik, no, what is the tachlis of creation? Nisave Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yosla Dir B'tachtonim. Which, by the way, is not something the Baal Tanya made up. It's a Medrash in Parshas Naso. Hashem's greatest taiva, Hashem's greatest desire is to what? Is to have a dwelling place in this world. Hashem wants to be here. So Hashem says, Yoina, Neshama, you like chilling up here with me. It's nice and cozy. It's comfortable. It's very spiritual. You think this is the place of our true encounter. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go down to that world. Make that into Navehu. Make that into my dwelling place. That's the Iker Dirasa. When you can be, and maybe that's what Ariel, right, you were alluding to. Right now it's in a state of concealment. But if we could reveal Hashem's presence even in these dark places, even in these places of concealment, and prove that Hashem was there all along, it's a gevaldik chiddush. That gives Hashem a nachas ruach. We prove to the world Hashem is here, even though you can't see Him. And that's what the mission is. We're sent to this world to create, to be metakein, to build a dwelling place for Hashem. Yeah,
Binyan.
Right? That's right.
And then the Vilna Gaon comments that Ikar Olam is this.
That's right. Very good.
Mabu,
right? Rabbi Huda and Nasi, after he passed away, the Gemara says in Shabbos, would come back to this world and make Kiddush for his family Friday night. It's pretty Rebbish. That's why he's called Rabbi. A Rebbish thing. Came back to this world. What are you coming back to? Who would want to come back to this world? You're in the best place. No. Because Hayom La Asosim. Today is the opportunity to do them. However, there's a big bracha of existing. It's scary. It's really scary. By the way, if we believe in Yerida Sodoros, which we do, at least on some level, that means it just gets scarier and scarier, which means we're living in the scariest period in Jewish history. Ikvas of the Mashiach, it's terrifying. It's very scary. But it's a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. It's a tremendous opportunity. There was a conversation once between the Arizal and Rav Chaim Vital. And the Arizal said to Rav Chaim Vital, you should know that our learning, our mitzvos, our davening, the things that we do, is even greater or at least equal to the Rishonim and the Tanaim and the Amoraim. So Chaim Vital said to his Rebbe, it's hard to say. You're going to tell me our avoda, and the Arizal and the Chaim Vital were, pretty heavy hitters. You're going to tell me in the 1500s, we're on the Madrega of Rishon Bar Yochai. We're on the Madrega of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanes. We're like the Tanaim. So this is what the Arizal said. The Arizal said, no, you have to understand, in accordance with the Aridas Hadoros, it's like prorated. You're judged on a curve. So the Arizal said, what we're doing in the 1500s, in accordance with the challenges that we face, is equal, it's equally chashiv to what the Tanayim were doing in their time. So Moshe Wolfson writes about this in his Sefer, Emunah Sitech and Parshas Naso. And he says, imagine today, we look at our avodah, we're like, I'm nothing compared to earlier generations. Yeah, but Nisyonos are also nothing compared to earlier generations. Right? So maybe our avodah is on the level of Tanayim and Amoraim, and maybe, who knows? And that's why the Chiddush Erim said that from Hashem's perspective, we want Mashiach now. When I look at a mosque on top of Kodesh Kodashim, it should tear my heart in two. So I have to say, Hashem, we need the Gula. But from our perspective, Chavra, from our perspective, as hard as it is right now, we're scoring incredible amounts of points. I know it's a silly way to look at Yiddishkeit as, like how many tickets do you get and get a prize at the end, but we're getting lots of tickets. We're getting lots of tickets. In the end of days, even though it seems like, we're such a low madriga, we're collecting tons of tickets and we're going to cash them in for an amazing price. The Chiddush Erim said, when we say we want the Gula, we're asking it from Hashem's perspective, we want the Gula. From our perspective, there's a huge opportunity. Everything's on sale. All schar is on sale. Yeah, Eliyah.
Does that mean that the Averos are even worse in this generation? It's worse in the earlier generations because it was easier for
probably.
Them to avoid it.
We probably get graded on a curve also if you do Averos. Again, we have to be careful not to use that as a...
So it's an excuse.
But Hashem is understanding. The Gemara says Hashem ain't a kadosh baruch hu bal betrunya and briosav. Hashem doesn't come with unreasonable claims against his people. So if you really are living in a difficult situation, and the Yetzer gets the better of you, so you could turn to Hashem and you can say, "Look, you made me a yoyna paisa ein lev. You made me a gullible dove without understanding. What do you expect from me? I didn't see Kriyas Yamsuf. I never saw a prophet come and give me a nevuah." We're living in times of Hester Panim. So it was hard for me to believe in you, Hashem. Okay, I hope for our sake Hashem will accept that excuse. Yeah, Oren. Very sweet.
Why is this world bigger to us? It's definitely surprising when we consider how many things exist in this world that
right.
seem antithetical to what Hashem is trying
to do. Right, but that's the Chiddush, right? Meaning... when you can prove that Hashem is here, when you show godliness is so great that it can even manifest in such darkness, in such craziness, that's a chiddush. If you show me that the king can be a king in a palace, okay, that's how it's supposed to be. King's supposed to be a king in a palace. What you could show me, right? You could show me his power, his prominence, that he's accepted even by people who don't really have an appreciation of the malchut. You want to tell me that the staff in the palace, they all have great respect for the king because they get to see the king. But you can show me that the king is so powerful that the people so far away from the kingdom also understand who the king is. That shows the greatness of the king. Right? So it's a bigger chiddush to show Hashem's presence in less obvious places. Okay, that's the var. Okay, Chava, let's do two more minutes. We'll just finish this pasuk. Ha'ir ha'gadola. Ha'ir HaGadola, what's the Ir HaGadola? Go to Nineveh, the Ir HaGadola. Chaver, what's the Ir HaGadola? The big city, I guess that means there's a small city. Who's the small city, Shner?
Small city is...
Who is the small city? Oh. I didn't say what is the small city. Who is the small city?
Oh, who? Okay.
You are the small city. Nate is the small city. Dovi's the small city. I'm the small city. Every one of us is the small city. What's the big city? Olam Hazeh. A person's called an Olam Katan. The world is, I guess, the Olam Gadol, even though there's many more worlds which are that much bigger than that. Ha'ir HaGadola, says the Gra, Ninveh, this world is the big city. Yadu Asha Adam Nikra Olam Katan. We know that a person is called the small city. Vinikra, it's called the small world, the miniature world. Vinikra Ir Katana, and furthermore, you're called the small city. Like it says in Koheles. In Koheles, it says in the ninth parak, it says there was an Ir Katana, there was a small city, and few people lived in it, and a big king came and tried to conquer it. The big king's the Yetzirah, in that mushroom in Koheles. So every one of us is a small city with limited resources, and the Yetzirah is trying to destroy us. Im kein ha'olam nikra ir gadola. So if I'm the small city, so then the world says the Vilna Gaon is the big city. So the neshama sent to the big city. Neshama, the nice little erlich, sweet, innocent neshama gets sent down, right, to this world, to this crazy world. Yeah.
Why are we using Yetzirah? Why are we using king?
Because he's also a Melech.
Is that because he's the king of this
in
world?
In Koheles, he's called he's called an old foolish king in Koheles. A Melech Zachin Uksil. An old foolish king. Is the Yetzirah old?
Yeah.
Very old. He's been around for a long time. Is he a king? Is he a power? Authority? Does he get people to do stuff?
Yeah.
Is he a fool? Melech Zachin Uksil? Is he a fool? Chavetz Chaim said he's not a fool because he's foolish, but he's good at fooling. That's why he's called a fool. He's a jester. He gets us. He tricks us into stupid things. That's why he's called a fool. Right? That's his profession. That's his trade. So that's exactly this, the gullible dove that he's chasing after. Okay? So Yonah is sent, the neshama sent to the big city, to this world. Ukra aleha. And what is the neshama supposed to do? Both on a micro level within its body and on a macro level within the world and on a really macro level in all the worlds, ukra aleha, call out to it, set the tone, deliver the message, limud esa adam das, teach a person what it means to think like a person, be aware of your neshama, sheyashuvu midarkam hara'a, right, to repent from your negative ways. As it says in the Navi Yeshaya, Kol Omer Kira. A voice says, call out. I'll read you the psukim in the Navi Yeshayan, Parak Mem. Kol Omer Kira. A voice says, proclaim. And the prophet asks, what shall I proclaim? All flesh is like grass, and all its kindness like a blossom in the field. Grass withers and blossoms fade when the breath of Hashem blows upon it. Indeed, the people is grass. In other words, the neshama is sort of asking, right? Well, what do you want me to do? Like, people aren't going to listen. Everything's going to fade away. Says the Navi, grass withers and blossom fades, but the word of Hashem shall stand forever. Amazing. Devar Elokeinu yakum le'olam. In other words, neshama, don't be intimidated. Don't be overwhelmed. The body seems more dominant. We're going to see. The neshama has to take the reins. It's got to take control. The world seems so much bigger. As Jews, we're a tiny people. We're terribly outnumbered, just in numbers, not only in values, but in numbers. Kra'ala, kol omer kara. A voice says, proclaim, go out, cry out, get the message out, believe in the message. Ki also ra'asam lefanai. Last line for today. Sha'mekachergim shenoldo me'avonoseyim omdim lefanai, vitzoakim u'mekachergim. Ki also ra'asam lefanai. What does the pasuk say? Let's get the Pashup shot first. Yonah is told, go to Ninveh, tell them to do tshuva, because what? Because their evil has also lefanai, has ascended before me. However, what happens when we do averos? What does that mean, my avera goes up to Hashem? What goes up to Hashem? Says the Gra, the mekatrigim, shanoldu me'avonoseyim, omdim lefanai v'tzoagim mekatrigim. Every time we do an avera, a negative Malach is created. You do a mitzvah, a positive malach is created. You do an avera, a demonic being is created. A spiritual malach, a makatrig, an accuser is created. which is born from your Averos, which is made, is created by your Avera, and it goes before Hashem, and it screams to Hashem, and it's Makatreg, and it slanders you. Your Averos come and speak against you. Vehu Tumas HaMikdash. And this is what the Zohar calls Tumas HaMikdash. This world is supposed to be a holy place. It's supposed to be filled with the presence of Hashem. Your body is supposed to be holy. Your neshama is supposed to be able to live a life of Torah and mitzvos. And yet you've defiled the sanctuary. Tumas Mikdash. And that's what the Zohar explains in Parshas Vayechi, describing the Pasuk in Noach. Keitz kol basar balefanai. The destruction of all flesh has come before me. In other words, the Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at the world in the time of Noach and sees the Averos are so many that all of these mashchisim, all of these malachim are coming and saying to Hashem, why did you create the world? This was a terrible idea. But just on this point, on this point of Tumas Mikdash, I want to just end by reviewing a passage in the Nefesh HaChaim. Okay? Rav Chaim of Elazhin, student of the Vilna Gaon. Because he talks a lot about this mashal that we're describing here. The relationship between the what? Between the body and the world. Right? How every one of us is a miniature world. And how every one of us is a miniature Beis HaMikdash. And therefore we have to believe that our actions affect not only this world, but they affect higher worlds as well. So I want to just read you the fourth parak of Nefesh HaChaim very quickly. I'll read it to you in English. Okay? Says Rav Chaim of Elazhin, you should never think, what am I? How can my insignificant actions make a difference to the world? Right? I'm a tiny person in the world. No, Chaver, you're not a tiny person in the world. You are a world. You are a world. It's a different way to look at it. You should realize and internalize that the things you say or do are not irrelevant, God forbid. On the contrary, your actions carry great weight. Every deed you perform has repercussions in the loftiest heights and affect the brilliance of the spiritual lights above. I know it's a lot of pressure. But that's the relationship between the Olam Katan and the Olam Gadol. That's how your actions affect everyone in the world. What you do in New York right now is going to affect someone in Zimbabwe. It has a ripple effect. You know, the butterfly effect, right? It has a ripple effect through the whole world and through all the worlds. Because your neshama is the centerpiece of creation. By the same token, you should realize with a trembling heart, listen to this, it's terrifying, but we have to know the truth, that your missteps cause a devastation in the higher worlds that is far greater than Churban Beis HaMikdash at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and Titus HaRasha. Why? This is because the actions of Nebuchadnezzar and Titus did not cause any damage in heaven, so they destroyed a building, a very important building. When they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they destroyed a building. Right? But when we do Averos, because we are Nishmas Yisrael, our Averos destroy the Mikdash Amala. Our Averos demolish the Beis HaMikdash above. That's a terrifying thought. And I'll end with this. It's very, very scary, but again, we have to know it. He says, every one of us is like a miniature Beis HaMikdash. One's body is a small-scale counterpart of all the forces and worlds in existence, the heavenly Beis HaMikdash above. The heart of a person, this is your Kodesh Kodashim. This is your Holy of Holies. The Zohar summarizes this idea and says, when God created man, he fashioned him according to the heavenly model and placed the source of his strength in the center of his body, namely in his heart. Therefore, when an indecent thought enters one's mind, he is in effect bringing a harlot into the Holy of Holies of the celestial worlds. We sat on the ground on Tisha B'Av and spoke about how Titus HaRasha, what a disgusting human being, took a prostitute into the Beis HaMikdash and was mezana with her. And you read that and you say, ugh, disgusting, who could ever do such a thing? But we also have a Kodesh Kodashim. Our heart, our mind is also Kodesh Kodashim. And that means when we let thoughts in that are not supposed to be there, right? So unfortunately, we're bringing a zona into the Kodesh Kadashim. And we're doing it not just in a physical building, Beis HaMikdash, but we're doing it in the spiritual worlds. And therefore, he says, it's very scary, it's hard to read the words, but he says, when we do an Avera, it's an Eish Zara that we're bringing to Beis HaMikdash. When we let foreign thoughts cloud our mind, we're not thinking the way that a Jew is supposed to think. It's like bringing a zona into the Beis HaMikdash. And he says it Befeh Mala, he says it's worse than Titus HaRasha. It's worse than Tita Sarasha. It's a scary responsibility. So you can understand why the Yonah, why the Neshama says, I don't want to. Hashem, I think you got the wrong guy. I can't handle this mission. But like I started, to end with davar tov, to end with a positive word, you know? The fact that Hashem created you is Hashem's way of saying, no, I believe in you. You can do awesome things in the world. Hashem knows what he's doing. If we mess up, so then we have to come back and do another Gilgal. But let's get it right the first time. Ritz Hashem. Okay. Questions, comments, thoughts? Yeah, all right.
I was in the bathroom, so I might have missed when you said it. Is there a reason why it could be worse in our mind because we don't think it's wrong and based on that we know it's wrong?
Right, we don't think it's such a bad thing because we think it's just a thought. Right? We sometimes, oh, it's just a thought. We don't realize that a thought is actually on a higher level than an action. So destroying a spiritual Beis HaMikdash in my neshama, or in a higher realm that I don't even know what that is in many ways damaging that, is worse than going and knocking down the Kotel. It would be worse than going to destroy the physical Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, totally.
Cause higher than action, even like by mitzvahs, or just
so, okay. Big sugya, right. Yeah. It's not enough to, we have to, in a certain way, actions are better, are more than thought, but on a certain level, the fact that thought is ethereal, it's spiritual, it's not tangible, so that implies that it's loftier, it's higher.
For mitzvahs, though, if it's a thought and you don't actually do them.
Actually, the Gemara discusses that. If a person intends to do a mitzvah and doesn't do it, he gets schar. A person intends to do an avera, sometimes it doesn't count by a Jew, but at the same time, the Gemara says, here, hurray avera, kashim me avera, sometimes thinking about an avera is worse than the avera itself, so it's a big sugi, we'd have to work it out. But on a certain level, thought is higher than action, yeah.
How do we, view that what they just said about in knocking down the Beis HaMikdash, where it's almost just a building, where we spoke about last week, that the Beis HaMikdash is, I'm saying, has a lot of spirituality, a lot of
right.
Maybe
it does, but the Beis HaMikdash Shomala is even higher. No one's saying it's not a big deal that Tito Sarasha took a zona into the physical Beis HaMikdash. No one's saying it's not a big deal that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the physical Beis HaMikdash. We're just saying spiritual is higher than physical. And we're always in the spiritual Beis HaMikdash. We are the spiritual Beis HaMikdash. Shachanti Besocham. Hashem wants to dwell inside of us. Not Besocho. Besocham. Hashem dwells in us. Okay, like Nate said, we gotta let him in.
So there's the left of the Beis HaMikdash, it's almost an allegory for us to see that
for sure.
We all have the spiritual Beis HaMikdash.
For sure. For sure. The Beis HaMikdash is a bidyavid. The physical Beis HaMikdash is bidyavid. Alright? We'll go back to the first word we started with today. Vayihi Devar Hashem Al Yona. How does Parsha Shmini go? Anyone know how Parsha Shmini? Vayihi Bayom HaShmini. What's Vayihi Bayom HaShmini? What's Vayihi?
Vayihi's
bad. What's bad about Yom HaShmini? We're about to inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. The Holy Rishner said, because that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want a physical Beis HaMikdash. Hashem wants you to be a Beis HaMikdash. So even a Beis HaMikdash is a little bit of sadness to it. That's not the dream. That's not the Dir B'Tachtonim Hashem is dreaming of. He doesn't want to be isolated in a little box in Yerushalayim. Hashem wants to dwell in the heart and soul of every person. Yeah?
To add on to what Dovid was saying, so the Nebuchadnezzar and Titus also caused a lot of Jews
to destroy their own. For sure. That's true also.
So, and then maybe your response to my thing is that because it's all the onus, that it's really, and like, they're, I guess, becoming martyrs, etc., that it's actually creating more of a purification of
right.
Beis HaMikdash Shemala.
Right, part of the.
That's a very hard thing to say.
Okay. A lot to think about there. Yeah, Sam.
So does that mean that
so that's a very deep question you're asking. Right, they're going to be a third Beis HaMikdash. Are we going to be the third Beis HaMikdash? Right? It's a pretty funky question, no? I mean, we like to assume the answer is yes. It seems that the third Beis HaMikdash, according to some Rishonim, is going to descend from Shemayim. Right? The tefillah that we said, Nachem, that we insert into our Shemona Esrei on Tisha B'Av, says that with fire the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and with fire it will be rebuilt. What does that mean? Is our Beis HaMikdash made out of fire? Is that your neshama? Ne'er Hashem nishmas Adam. We're the fire? I don't know. It's a deep question. The relationship between us and third Beis HaMikdash as being third Beis HaMikdash. Is everyone going to be their own little miniature Beis HaMikdash?
There's a lot. I always thought that meant like before the Beis HaMikdash, there's going to be some sort of fire.
Right, so there's also, that is a, some Rishonim say, we're going to build it. Some say it's going to come down from Shemayim. Some say it's going to be a combination.
Right. And then it's a place where
Bevenyano, Besikuno, like we say in Shoshir Galim. Every mitzvah is another brick in the base of Mikdash. Yeah. Alright, but yeah, it's a deep, it's a very deep question. You know, are we going to become that, right, that ideal miniature base of Mikdash? I hope so. Yeah. Well, it depends what that means, building. I mean, it's not, you know, the focus is on making it happen, which is, I guess, perfecting ourselves. I don't know. I don't know. I think, again, my understanding is that there's going to be a building. But there's...
I think most people would agree with that. There's going to be a building. I don't see how it's not the ideal.
Okay. But maybe it's a combination. Maybe it's a combination. Yeah. Okay, Chaver, let's pause here. Let's take a little break. It's a little warm in here, no?
Yeah, very.
It's a bit so warm in here. Okay, I'm not sure what the story is with that.